E1, number 22A.
So we take the last one, love, where we saw the motherhood of an idea, where we had all those wonderful qualities of mothering an idea by cherishing the idea, nurturing the idea, protecting the idea, welcoming the idea, seeing the promise of an idea, welcoming the future of an idea, seeing the bigness of the future. All that is motherhood sense. And in the human, we find that as compassion, as being impartial, forgiving, peacemaking, all that. But when you come to the opposite of it, of love, of that motherhood sense, you really become a good nihilist. Nihilist. You know what a nihilist is? Yes, that whole way of thinking which is called nihilism, as you had it in the beginning with Nietzsche in Germany, then the whole Hitler regime was building on that nihilism. You destroy, 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 destroy. You don't, your worldview, your Weltanschauung is really that everything goes to bits. That the end of the world is nothing, that it will be self-destruction. That's the nihilistic sense. It's, you could say nihilistic is directed to nothingness. Huh? That's the nihil. Huh? The word comes from the same root of nothing. It's that attitude instead, you know, a mother, she's wonderful. She can have something so tender, which is so little, but she will see the bigness of it already. And this little thing may be in all sorts of odds and danger. She doesn't lose faith that it will come all right. The opposite is nihilism, that whatever you have, it looks as if it will just lead to nothing. That everything is without purpose, without aim, without any promise. The only thing that will happen is destruction. That's the nihilistic sense, which is very rampant, say, within the last 100 years, as it was never really before, as far as cultural philosophy can show, that it is a sign of our generations. That it says, what's the purpose of life? The young people also have that sense as they say, what's the purpose of life? Doesn't matter if I get killed by hash or by any of the drugs, what's the purpose of life anyway? That's the nihilistic sense that cannot take something, even if it's small, and nurture it to water the vineyard, and nurture it so that it can grow and grow and grow. The beginning is meek, the growth sturdy, and its maturity without decay. Now, nihilism is decay, but everything goes towards the direction of decay. So it's condemnation, really, instead of compassion, it's condemnation. Yeah. Well, here we have been investigating this Christianity order, and so you could see how with this Christianity order we began to touch really that plane of thinking which has to do, so to say, with man, with the human, with the mortal. Up to now we really didn't have that question in our in focus. See, with the word we had the God, the nature of God in our focus. With Christ we had in focus that great enigma in being, namely how can the whole be translated into the parts without losing the nature of the whole. That was the Christ. Whereas when we come to Christ unity, it's the unity of the Christ, the realm of the Christ, the outcome of the Christ, the realm of ideas. And so we were considering the realm of ideas, and only really slightly touching what is the human and what is the mortal. We can see that we have been going now through quite a lot of hours, always sticking to the signs of being, deducing from the highest axiom, so to say, that there is one infinite principle, deducing from there step by step, and only now we have slightly touched the question of man or humanhood, and that's right. That's about the proportion it should take. The big picture and the big occupation of our thought should really not be so much what is man and what is the human, but what is the divine, what is idea. Because that gives the impress on the human, and the right impress on the human. And that will also help us to get away from the sense that we are only men. Because as we have said, the concept of man on the human plane started some million years ago, but it started. And if something starts, it must come to an end. And I feel that Jesus was the prototype of what comes to an end, and the prototype of that what comes afterwards, namely not men. He showed that really we should grow out of that sense of being always centered around the question, what is man, but being centered around the question, what is God? So that we introduce into our consciousness the sense that our subjectivity, our conscious subjectivity, is something infinitely bigger than what is shown only by the term man. Now we come to the crux of the whole thing. Now that we have seen, that we have touched man, and what is really the true sense about man, namely that he is not a man, but that there is idea and an infinite combination and calculus of ideas, that really the Christianity is ideas reflecting each other, and that they are the reality of things, then we come to the next aspect, namely of science in Christian Science. We come therefore out of man, out of Christianity. We leave, so to say, Christianity behind us and concentrate on science. It is as if we would now ask, how could we surpass man? What is that which helps us to, can you say, to get away from man, to overform man, to give to that thing which is called man a higher form, which is no more called man, namely spiritual, scientific, structured consciousness. Our consciousness is not really unique to man, because there must have been a divine consciousness before the term man appeared, and therefore consciousness, divine consciousness, super consciousness has to do with the one infinite being itself. It's true that in the human realization only man seems to have a understanding consciousness, a structured logical consciousness, but that does not belong to man. It belongs to being itself. And it is something that, as we know, has been operating long before man appeared on earth. So that what is called the eternal idea, man, is really only a symbolic expression of God's consciousness of himself. And that's how already in the Bible they tried to show that in the sixth day of creation, that man is not an entity per se, but that it is God being conscious of himself. That's how Mrs. Eddy gives the explanation in the exegesis of the sixth day, that you can see that at that point, really, God makes an image of himself. But making an image of himself means that God's mind is making an image of himself, of life, truth, and love. And so that activity of God making an image of himself is symbolized through the symbol called man. But man is not an entity per se. It's only a term, a name. Mrs. Eddy always says it is a name. Man is the name for. It's only a name. It's not an entity per se. The entity per se is what the sixth day of creation shows, and what Mrs. Eddy explains wonderfully in the exegesis, that man is really God being aware of himself. God reflecting on himself. God being conscious and reflecting about himself or on himself. God asking himself, what am I? And this very operation is divine consciousness. That's why we have in the sixth day, in the day of truth, that big idea, consciousness. Notice when we went through these laws, when we came to truth, somehow consciousness did stick out as, so to say, the main idea of truth. So it's truth knowing itself as truth. Truth contemplating on the form of truth. Truth being aware of the content of truth. Truth reflecting on its own nature of truth. So, in a way we can see that when we touch now the last column of science which we can understand through consciousness and can therefore get hold of through ordered consciousness, structured consciousness, we see now that in the fourth side of science we find such a structured consciousness or understanding. So let's take now the next diagram, which we can call the science order. Which we could see as really depicting what constitutes structured understanding I think this is perhaps a good rendering, structured understanding or a structured consciousness. Now, before I start with this, I think I have to make it very clear what the standpoint is here. Again, we must ask ourselves, what is the point of intersection? We have science, which is a interpretation of being through a structured or ordered presentation, that science, bringing order into a subject, showing the categories of a subject, the laws relating in a subject. The science is a way of understanding. On the level of Christian science, therefore, it must show, because Christian science touches the human, it must show the structure of our human understanding, which would be able to take hold of the divine understanding. You know, when one spells out the term understanding, again, we can be very much mistaken in what we are trying to achieve. What did we say in structuralism? That meaning depends on context, that meaning is relational. So if I have a term like understanding, I must put it first into its right relationship. And here we may have perhaps some difficulty or maybe something new, because we usually use the term understanding only in one relationship. Namely, usually in the way of understanding something. We understand something. We want to understand being. We want to understand a situation. We want to understand a specific case. It's always understanding about something we are interested in. Because we don't like ignorance. We don't like to be in the dark. We don't like to have a mystic conception of something. We know that understanding would be a great help to see through things and would clear up things and would bring a solution to things. So we want to understand the situation. We want to understand a subject. So understanding was always directed to something and to understand that something. But when we have understanding here in this context, at the point of intersection here, it's another relation. And that is usually why this science order has not been understood very well. Because here, understanding means how can we understand, not what do we understand. It's the how of understanding. Through what means do we understand, not what do I understand. Can you see that? It's asking for, so to say, the tool of understanding, the glass through which we look. And that instead of looking through a glass darkly, as Paul said it, we should look through a structured way of how to understand. So this is a great difference. Because the things we understand, the what of what we understand is infinite. We can understand this and that and the other and so on and so on and so on, and right through our whole life we can understand something. But this is not under consideration here. Here under consideration is through which tool, through which means, through which instrument, through which channel, whatever term I may take, can I understand at all? This is under consideration. Therefore, it shows that for all the millions of things that I can understand, I really only need one right tool with which to understand everything. If I have the whole range of arithmetic with all the practically infinite possible computations within the framework of arithmetic, then I am not asking, do you understand what is 3,564 divided by 273? That I do not ask. I ask, through what tool do you calculate and can you understand every computation? And therefore, the answer would be through the network, through the system of arithmetic. Namely, you have to know your digits, you have to know your fundamental operations, and how to proceed. That's the tool of understanding. And here we see this great difference between what we started out this week to do, between atomistic understanding and structural understanding. Atomistic understanding would be that we understand every situation. Structural understanding is different. It would mean through what medium do we understand? Through what, through what screen, through what network? How should you look at things? Should you look at things atomistically or through the divine system? Through categories? That's under consideration here. Therefore, we can see that it is giving us a most simple tool, which is the key to understand everything. Therefore, I put it here down that this science order is really explaining structural understanding, namely that the tool is structured consciousness. Oh yes, you call it the grid, huh? A grid through which you look, huh? The grid you lay on the subject and say, this grid gives you really the point of observations, the categories through which you can calculate and measure things. So it's a grid through which you look. Huh? See, the way we said, like, didn't we showed it with a razor blade? I think I talked about this week. You see, he could see that according to the tool through which he looked at the same object, he would find another phenomena. So if we have completely a different point of observation, namely a structured understanding, it's okay, thank you, a structured understanding, then we will have a simpler tool to understand things in their depths. And so what we will be doing with this science order is therefore to analyze what constitutes a structured understanding. So it will not give us an answer what we can understand, but how to understand. So we try now to structure the science order and make four columns. The first column again are our synonyms, the synonyms which give the form of the candlestick, as you know, and therefore view the word order from the middle, from principle, and sees first from, when you look out from the middle, on the right and on the left, you get soul and life as one tone. And then the next one is spirit and truth. The next one, mind and love. And the last one is on which the candlestick stands, principle. So So in this way, we have shown really the candlestick order, and now we want to start and see what this all means. We concentrate constantly now on that one fact, that we investigate the structure of understanding, the tool of understanding. That tool is a structure consciousness. What are the elements of that structure consciousness is the first question. And the elements of that is showing us the factors, so to say, of being. Just as you have in mathematics your numbers from 1 to 10, your digits from 1 to 10, with which we calculate. Here we have in soul and life what Mrs. Eddy calls the numerals of infinity, the numerals of infinity.